Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called To Scam a Scammer, an adaptation of an old fable written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Gabriel and Lucas and their family in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, Tilly, Abe, and Violet and their family in Seattle, Washington, and Harper and Hudson and their family in Denver, Colorado. Thank you so much, Hudson, Harper, Violet, Abe, Tilly, Lucas, and Gabriel. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have Stories Podcast merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, and now we're also on Cameo. Check us out over there if you'd like to get a personal video message for someone special. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. Parents, you know this. Sometimes being an adult means you have to do hard things. One of those hard things? Hiring. That's where our sponsor Indeed can help. After hours of dedicated research, nothing feels better than the satisfaction of finally finding the information you've been looking for. You get that same incredible feeling when you're able to find your next great hire after a candidate search with Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible. Because you can do it all, attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process, so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. With Indeed Instant Match, over 90% of employers get quality candidates as soon as they sponsor their job post, according to Indeed data. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/stories. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/stories. Indeed.com/stories. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. To Scam a Scammer. Once upon a time, in a little county nowhere in particular, a man came to town. The town was a friendly place, full of neighbors that helped one another and generally just did their best to get along. The man was exactly the opposite, and he saw a friendly town very much the same way a wolf might see a fat old sheep limping down the road. His friends, what few he had, called him Slip, for his ability to get in and out of a town, escaping with a small fortune in his bags. He was round and sly, with beady eyes and a wide smile that seemed genuine, but maybe a little too genuine, if that makes sense. Slip wasn't a thief, at least not if you asked him. No, he was a con man. He didn't steal directly, like a burglar or a mugger would. Instead, he tricked people out of their money. He came into the town center, where there was a lush green lawn spread around a well, and sat down with his bags. Inside, he had real money and fake money, documents that listed him under a dozen names, magic tricks, and disguises. He had fake family pictures and real knives, strange potions and smoky brews, and 100 little tools for all kinds of odd jobs. Sitting there in the street, he watched for a while, looking for someone who might make a good target. The people were open and friendly, but one woman struck him in particular. Her name seemed to be Daya. She was bustling about, happy and chatting with everyone, and she seemed very generous. She tipped the butcher, gave a small purse to the temple, and gave 2 bright coins to a couple of kids staring at swirly candies in a shop window. Slip had all kinds of cons, but for this woman, he went with one of the classics. Seeing Daya coming down the road, he switched his good coat for a shabby one, smeared some dirt around his hands, and selected a picture from his bag. Then he sank down on the side of the road and buried his head in his hands. And as he planned, Daya couldn't help but stop when she walked by him. "Hello there," she said to the man, who looked sad and desperate, head hanging low. "Is everything okay?"
"Oh, don't worry about me, ma'am," Slip said. "I'll figure out my own problems. No reason both of us should be so troubled."
He sniffled back a fake tear. He was an excellent actor.
"Well, that's just not how I was raised," Daya said. "So why don't you tell me what's going on?"
Slip handed her the photo he held in his shaky hands. It showed a beautiful young woman and her baby, laying together in a shabby bed.
"Oh, it's my baby," Slip said. "She's sick. I came here for work, but there's no jobs for a poor man like me. I just needed to make $100 to get her the medicine she needs. And if I don't..."
He started to cry, big fake tears.
"Oh, dear," said Daya. "You poor thing. What kind of medicine is it that you need?"
"Oh, the doctor in my town has some. It's something expensive from the city, you know how it is. I can't bear to go home without it. I've let down my family. I'm worthless."
Daya looked again at the picture of the sweet mother and child and felt her heart break. She didn't know that Slip had stolen the picture from the woman's actual husband 3 towns back.
"Well, here," she said, digging in her purse. "You take this and you go back and you get your daughter the medicine she needs."
Daya pulled out $100 bill and pushed it towards the man. Slip smiled inside, but outside he shook his head.
"Oh, no, I can't take your money. I'll figure something out. Maybe I can sell my kidney. Are there any good surgeons here in town?"
"What? No," said Daya. "I insist. You seem like such a sweet father. You take this money and you go home to your girls and you make sure that baby gets better."
Slip looked up and smiled, tears still staining his cheeks.
"Oh, bless you. You're an angel. I'm going to go and get a train ticket home right away."
He gave Daya a quick hug and then dashed off towards the train station. Just a couple hours in town and he was already $100 richer. This little town had never been lied to before, and Slip thought he could probably get another few scores before he had to slip town. A few hours and a few small cons later, he got his next big score. He saw a man getting off a train and struggling with his watch. The clasp appeared to be broken, but the man's suit and tie looked expensive, and Slip had just the scam ready. In a flash, he had put back on his good coat and spread a small black blanket in front of him. He laid out a bunch of small tools and quickly wrote, "Clockmaker and Watch Repair," on one of his many blank signs.
"Well, hello, good sir," he called to the man with the broken watch band. "I see you're having some trouble there. Can I help you out?"
The suit looked at him skeptically.
"You do watch repairs here?"
"Of course. My name's Professor Winscott, and you?"
Jerome,
said the man, still skeptical.
"Well, Jerome, I'm a small business owner just trying to get my name out there. I'm opening a lovely storefront on Main Street just next month, and I thought rather than waiting for the construction to be finished, I would get out here and start building my clientele. Surely a successful businessman like yourself sees the virtue in putting in the work."
That little bit of flattery worked on Jerome like a charm.
"Well, of course. A new store? I'll have to come see it when you open. In the meantime, Yes, my watch band is broken. The metal snapped clean through. I don't suppose you could fix that, can you?
Slip took the watch and peered at it through a magnifying glass, humming to himself the whole time. Finally, he shook his head.
Sorry, but the metal is shorn clean through. However, I do happen to have a new golden watch band here in my bag. I ordered it for another client and then they never came to pick it up.
He dug in one of his bags, pushing aside the fake money and fake diamonds until he came upon a small stash of fake gold watches. Without letting Jerome see, he unfastened the band and then pulled it out of the bag.
"Aha! Here it is," he said. "Unfortunately, it's already opened because I fitted it onto the client's watch. I can't sell it as new anymore, but what's bad for me is good for you. This band is gold and usually sells for,
Slip paused to mentally evaluate the man. He had a well-trained con man's eye and could guess what a person could afford just by a quick look.
"It usually sells for $300, but I could let you have it for $200.
"Done," said Jerome, feeling quite lucky.
"Plus another $25 for me to attach it,"
Slip added quickly, wanting to scam every last dollar he could. Jerome agreed, and Slip quickly swapped the bands. Of course, he couldn't do real watch repair, but swapping the bands was as easy as undoing a couple screws. Jerome paid him in cash and then walked home, quite happy. That night, when Jerome arrived home, he tousled his son Argyle's hair and then kissed his wife, Daya.
"How was your day today?"
he asked them.
"Good,"
Argyle mumbled, mouth full of popcorn.
"Oh, it was good," Daya said. "Oh, except I met a sad man. He was surrounded by black bags and he was here looking for work."
"Surrounded by black bags?" Jerome asked. "Round fella, small eyes, great big smile."
"You saw him too? Did you hear about his poor child?"
"Poor child? That's Professor Winscott. He's opening a watch shop here in town on Main Street."
"What? No, he came looking for work. Main Street? There's no vacant store on Main Street. What are you talking about?"
They both got a strange sinking feeling. They went around to their neighbors and discovered that some of them had met the stranger too, but they had all gotten a different story. Before long, Daya and Jerome realized that they'd been scammed. Just to double-check, Jerome got his hands sweaty and then held the watch band hard between them. Sure enough, when he pulled them open, the fake gold had stained his hands green.
"That thief! That con man! That crook!"
Jerome bellowed.
"To pretend to have a poor, sick child!"
Daya agreed. The neighbors that had also lost money, though not as much as Daya and Jerome, joined them in their grumbling. They called the police, but they didn't know the man's real name or anything else about him, and there was just nothing that could be done. Besides, it would be their word against his, and the police weren't even sure they'd be able to charge him without evidence. Argyle listened to his parents and their friends debate about what to do long into the night. Finally, they had a plan. They actually came and got Argyle to be a part of it. They all knew it was a long shot and assumed the scammer had already gotten a train out of town. Still, Argyle kind of hoped he hadn't. He'd never met a con man before. The next morning, Argyle walked towards the well at the center of town. He was going to meet a few of his buddies there to play baseball, but on the way, he saw a round man with small eyes and a bunch of black bags hanging from his shoulders. It was the con man who had scammed everyone. He must have mentioned the train station as a way to throw people off because he was still there. They could do the plan. Argyle's heart hammered in his chest. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he just had to hope it would work. From his bag, he pulled out a long rope, frayed and broken at one end. He threw it into the well and then put on the saddest face he could muster. Eventually, the con man passed close by and Argyle called out to him.
"Hey, mister," he said. "Do you know how to swim? I really need some help. My dad is gonna be so mad."
Slip looked at the kid and smiled.
Some con men had a strict rule against stealing from kids, but Slip wasn't one of them. "I am, in fact, an excellent swimmer," he said. "What can I do for you, kid?" Argyle took the chopped onion his mother had given him and discreetly rubbed it across his face. In a flash, his eyes were red and crying. "Well, I wanted to surprise my dad, so I took his good silver mug to fill with water. But I guess the rope I used was old, because once the mug was full, the rope snapped. The mug is huge and pure silver, and it's the most valuable thing we own. He's gonna be so mad I lost it." Slip couldn't believe his luck. This snot-nosed brat had lost a treasure and told Slip exactly how to get it. "I can help you," said Slip. "I'll climb right down and fish it out for you." "And keep it for myself," he added silently.
"Gee, thanks," Argyle said.
"No problem, kiddo," said Slip. "Just watch my bags." The con man stripped down to his shorts and grabbed the main rope that was attached to the bucket of the well. He slid down it like a fire pole and splashed into the chilly water at the bottom.
"I'll be back in a jiff," he called up the well. "We'll get that mug back in no time."
Slip dove beneath the surface and looked around. He didn't see any hint of a silver mug. If it had just dropped, it should still be under there, resting on the bottom. With a splash, he came back to the surface, just in time to see the rope he had climbed down disappear out of the well. Argyle pulled it over the edge and set it down next to the scammer's bags.
"Hey," Slip called. "Drop that back down here, I'm stuck."
The kid didn't answer.
Hey, someone, let me out of here."
A second later, a few faces appeared at the top of the well. With a sinking feeling, Slip recognized Daya and Jerome and the others he had scammed.
"Hey, we'll be right with you," Jerome said. "I'd hate for you to miss the opening of your new shop."
"Of course," Daya added, going through one of his bags and pulling out dozens of pictures of different families. "And look at all these partners and kids you've got to get home to."
Slip let himself sink beneath the surface. He had gotten too greedy. He should have left town while he still could. How had he let himself be conned by some kid?
They hauled him out of the water about an hour later. It turns out no one was in much of a rush to help him.
That night, he got on a train after all. And the next thing he slipped into was a cell at the county jail.
The end.
Today's story, To Scam a Scammer, was an adaptation of an old fable written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch, available at storiespodcast.com/shop, commission a special video on Cameo, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.